Good morning. I have us turned on now, right? You know, you send them to school and they still don't learn, do they? Huh? What a joy to be with you again. When you said, I don't even know how long it's been. It's been a few years, I know that. Since I was with you, and the Lord has seen us go a lot of different places since then. So, thanks for being here and not bailing as soon as you saw I was here, okay? Did you bring your swords with you? I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to say weird things, I don't think. Well, I may say weird things, but not the kind of things you think. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Just going to kind of skip through this work here, just hitting some high points. Stand with me, would you? To honor the reading of the word, I'm sorry, but I know you've been standing. But there's just something in me that says, when we're listening to God's word, being at attention is not a bad thing. Are you ready? May the Lord be with you. Listen for the word of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. If I had time, and I don't, I would say, sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 14. Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 20. Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 24. Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Skip ahead. Chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May I pray with you before we talk about it? Let's pray. Father, I am really glad to be in your house this morning. I realize that there is no way that we could possibly estimate what your Spirit wants to do in and through our lives if we yield ourselves completely to you. Help us to do exactly that. To be open to your Spirit's wooing and working in and through our lives. There is nothing new that any of us would have to say that hasn't been said before. But may your Spirit speak the creative words again. Let there be light in our souls. Let us be in your image. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Finally, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, some of you are like me. I'm an introvert. I very much like to be alone. I have no problem getting in my car and driving long distances with no one else in the car. I'm very much at home with that. As a matter of fact, my wife, who is a polar opposite from me, Martha likes to be with people. I OD with people pretty quickly. Well, don't sit there and laugh at me. You do too, don't you? At least half of you do. But even for those of us that are extremely introverted like myself, there is a deep passion, there is a deep need, there is a deep desire to be in a relationship with other people that matter. Not just a relationship with people that matter, but a relationship in which that person matters to me and I matter to that other person. I never will forget, young pastor, I had a guy that owned a funeral home that we got to be really good friends, and Jewel called me up and he said, "Preacher, what are you doing this afternoon?" I said, "Well, I've got some calls to make, but not a real definite plan." He said, "Can you come and just say a prayer for a man that I've got here that has died and there's nobody here? I just can't just put him in the ground without having some kind of a prayer." So I got there and I didn't really know the fella. I hadn't been in the town that long. Didn't realize that he was one of the wealthiest men in that town. Small southern town. There wasn't a soul there. We went out to the, rode out together to the cemetery and went through that time together, said prayer over a man that I didn't know. And on the way back, I asked him, I said, "Well, Jewel," I said, "tell me about this guy." And I said, is he without a family?" "No, he's got a family. He's got four kids that live here in town." I said, "Four kids? Where are they?" "So they're not going to show up?" He said, "Well, they'll show up tomorrow. Not here, but they're going to show up at a lawyer's office." In contrast, just later that same week, I did a funeral of a fella in that church who was a simple, simple man. Poor. Didn't have much of a family. Was a very poor man, and his wife had died, and he had one child, and they were pretty far away. But when we did the funeral, there just wasn't enough room for the people that wanted to be there. You see, even though he didn't have a lot of money, he had a lot of significance. He'd been one of those kind of guys that had always been there if you needed him. He would help people every chance he got. He worked at a grocery store of all places. He would not just bag your groceries. He would walk you out to your car if you needed him to. Sometimes he'd offer it when you didn't need it. He's one of those kind of guys, if he's talking to him and you say, "Well, I've got to get home. I'm doing some kind of a project." He would say, "Well, do you need any help?" And when his life was done on this earth, he was missed. Because you see, he had made a difference in other people's lives. He mattered to them. We have an elemental passion, is the way some philosophers put it. We have an elemental passion to have significance in other people's life and to have other people in our life that are significant to us. It is an elemental passion. And when we don't have that, our life suffers. What's interesting to me is you work your way through both the Hebrew Bible and also the New Testament. You find yourself tracking along with God and God's people as they are working and living together all the time. Now, there are some who think that when God says it's not good for the man to live alone, that's a statement that says that, well, you have to be married. But if that were the case, if that's what it took in order for you and me to be whole, in order for you and me to be truly human, in order for you and me to be everything that God wants us to be, in order for you and me to exhibit the kingdom of God, then we have a problem when we look at Jesus, who was not married. But even Jesus kept himself in the company of other people. People that he mattered to, and people who mattered to him. He poured himself out to those folk. It's not good for the man to live alone. We're in a world that wants to be spiritual, who see themselves as spiritual. Every time we take a census of the United States, the percentage of those who see themselves as being spiritual people continues to increase. It increments up a little at a time every census. We want to be spiritual. We desire to be spiritual. We intend to be spiritual. We see our lives as something more than just physical existence. But when we come to the business of real spirituality and look at that in connection to the Christian faith, we sometimes see a disconnect. Because you see, we want our spirituality to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's like we're going through a smorgasbord line. I finally talked Martha into letting me go with her to, well, not go with her, her go with me, actually. I dragged her. To a Polish smorgasbord. Have you ever been one of those places?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Rod, you know, guys like Rod, we, you know, it's lots of food, and we say, yeah, gimme, you know, just clear the path, you know, let me have it. I ate stuff I didn't even know what it was. I looked at stuff, it was on these big trays, these stainless steel bins, and I looked at that, and I read it, and I thought, I have no idea what that is. Scoop. Got a little of this and a little of that, and after I started eating, I realized, you know, I probably shouldn't have got these two things together. Of course, that didn't stop me. I went ahead and ate it anyway. You see, spirituality for so many of us has become somewhat of a smorgasbord line. We take a little bit of meditation. We take a little bit of exercise. We take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We take a little bit of listening to, of going to listen to classical music and that kind of stuff. We go take a little bit of church, a little bit of God. I contend, actually, that we struggle so much because we have just enough religion to bug us, but not enough to bless us. I had a pastor friend of mine that used to put it this way, my first pastor, actually, the guy that led me to the Lord. He said, the problem with so many of us is that we just want to stay in the shallow end of God's pool. We want just to kind of walk around and wade around, but we don't really want to dive all the way in. I'm not sure that that's so, but I hear his point. Let me get at what I'm trying to say before we get done. If I intend to be a Christian person, if the spirituality that I seek after, the spirituality that I intend is a Christian spirituality, it's going to be a spirituality that is not just a solo track. Where it's just me and the Lord and nobody else. That all I need is a Bible and I need a place to pray. And apart from that, me and the Lord is all that I need. I've got a good Hebrew word for that. Hogwash. Because you see, from the very beginning, God has always intended for you and I to be part of a community of faith and hope and love. And it's in that community of faith and hope and love that not only we practice the virtues of what it means to be God's people, but also we have a place where we learn how to have relationships with other people that are creative and redemptive and dynamic relationships. And more than that, we find how to be there for each other, to laugh with each other, to cry with each other. In the community of faith, hope, and love, we find it's a place where our life matters to others. And sure enough, their lives begin to matter to me as well. I find that I'm not just this solo act that God just gives me grace and puts me out in the road and says, "Do the best you can, Ron." But rather, I find myself pulled into this community of God's people that I need, that you need, in order for us to be the kind of people that God intends for us to be. It's not good for us to be alone with our living. But more than this, our need for each other is so profound that you may have noticed it, but I'll bring it to your attention anyway. Even in those moments of great solitude, you know those times when you are very much on your own, the time when you have to do things that nobody else can help you with, the times when you think that you are all by yourself and it's all on you and you're just being the spiritual hero, minding God and walking up the hill. Remember Jesus. See, I've always been impressed by something that happens as He is minding God and walking up a hill. He fell beneath the weight. Even Jesus couldn't make it all the way up the hill by himself. Even Jesus needed some help when he thought he was all on his own. Even Jesus needed and found help of someone like Simon of Cyrene. Here's the point. If Jesus needed help carrying his cross, who do I think I am? If Jesus needed someone else to help him be faithful to God, I certainly need someone else. You and I, all of us, as we are journeying together as God's people, not only matter to each other, but we play a role in each other's faithfulness. We learn what it means to be faithful through each other as well as God's Word. We learn what it means to be truly spiritual, not by doing it on our own and doing it as if we were the only ones. We learn to be spiritual as part of a community of hope and faith and love. We learn what it means to be truly Christian. Not in isolation, but in community. And God has always intended it to be so. He has wired you and me up to be people of deep, important relationships where we matter to someone else and someone else matters to us. But when we try to do it on our own, when we try to struggle our way up the hill and just say, "I don't need anybody, it's just me and the Lord, and we're going to make it," we just will find ourselves over and again falling under the crush faltering in the journey, rather than sharing the load, rather than sharing the journey, rather than opening ourselves up to the encouragement, the direction, sometimes the guidance as well as the physical and spiritual help that others could bring if I would just let them know where I was and what I needed. I've been married now for 33 years. Long enough that you think Martha would know better. But she still hangs out with me. I was really fortunate. I'm married into what was a marvelous Christian family. A strong Christian family. And these 33 years plus, pushing 34 now, just a couple of months, about 1 month. There have been times when my faith has been severely challenged. And her faith came alongside and helped me through it. There have been times when it was her faith that was challenged. When she was seeing things in dark tones and hues. That it was my faith that came alongside of her and we got through it together. That's just a marriage for us. But it's also true in our other relationships. There have been times when a pastor called me when I was a young Christian at just the right time and took me out and we had ice cream together and just encouraged me when he had no idea how much I needed it. We're in this together. If you've been here long enough that you've heard me before, you already know what I say about this. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going on a bus. We're not getting on our little scooters and going by ourselves one by one. We are in this together. It is not good for us to try to do this alone. It will fail. We will fall short. It doesn't work that way because we're not wired up that way. Even the most shy, backward, introverted people like me and like some of you. I want us to sing. Folk, could you come back? And while we sing, I really just kind of want to open some things to you. We have up front this altar. The altar is a place of grace. It's not a place of disgrace. It's a place of communication. It's not a place of condemnation. It's a place where many, many a Christian have laid down heavy loads that was always too much for them. In order to pray with a marvelous awareness that somebody was just beside you, praying for you, praying with you, because you matter to them, because we matter to each other. What we need to do is just let the Lord speak to us, to let Him have His way, but not to do it alone. Not to do it just by ourselves, but to do it in the company of His people. Let's stand together. Would you stand with me? And while we sing, if you need to pray, you say, Ron, I have been struggling with stuff, and it's just more than I've been able to keep up with. It's just wearing me down. It's just doing me in. I know it's not what I need to do. I know that God can help me if I would just open myself to Him and to His people. And I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to admit it to God's people. I need some help. I need some help. While we sing, while they sing, if you need to pray, you come. We're not going to make a big deal out of it. Lay down your heavy load, Christian. Don't try to do it on your own. Let's sing.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Before we go to the next verse, we're going to sing it, we're going to be done, okay? Child of God, if you're carrying burdens that you cannot handle on your own, that you were never expected to handle on your own, why in the world would you leave the same way you came when you don't have to? It matters. It matters to walk together in the light. It matters to let God have His way, not to despair. We're going to sing the next verse. If you need to come, you slip out and come. Just open yourself to His way.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes, your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes, your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
You've been patient with me. I appreciate it. You've been kind. It is good to see you. Some of you are, I guess, old friends now. Some of you are new. And as we pass through this moment we have together, it is the Lord's moment. And we are God's people. And this is God's place. Now, I want to make an invitation. Could I? For you guys and you gals that are here, there are some that are praying. You can't do their praying for them. You certainly can pray with them. You say, Ron, I'm not a super saint. You don't have to be a super saint. Just be a caring child of God. You say, Ron, okay. I'm going to ask if you would just come forward and help us pray, those that are here around this altar. Would you do that? Just slip out and come. Just slip out and come. It matters that we pray together. It really does. We're in this together. Isn't this a wonderful thing? We're in it together, folk. God will see us through. And at just the right moments and just the right ways, He brings other people alongside as we journey. He gives us opportunities that we can have a life that matters to other people because of His love and His grace at work in and through us. But also, He allows us to have relationships with people that matter to us. A life that matters. A life that matters. A spirituality that is not a lonely thing. It is a spirituality that is full of relationships. Let me pray with this before we go. Father, here we are in your place giving you thanks and praise for your help and your watch over us. I thank you for the abundant grace that has forgiven us of our sins, for your Spirit's work in and through our lives that is causing us to be more like you, sanctifying us in every way, through and through. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to a place where we are your children, not just individuals, but part of your family. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray together because we matter to each other, because we all matter to you. I pray that you would help us to stand from this place strengthened and straightened by the creative, redemptive, dynamic relationships that we have through God our Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, by His Spirit. May it be so. May it be so. Answer every need that is lifting up to you right now. In Jesus' matchless, powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. You are dismissed.